It's estimated that at least half the nation's homeless women and children are fleeing domestic violence. Many go to emergency shelters. But when they leave, they often make a dangerous decision and return to their abusers. In recent years, shelters across the country have been trying to change that equation. NPR's Joseph Shapiro visited one such program in Texas.
When Caroline came to the shelter for victims of domestic violence, she was running away from her drug-addicted husband. At the time, they were living in a rundown motel room, 9 kids and 2 adults sleeping jumbled across 2 beds. And Caroline's husband was acting wild and menacing.
He had pulled some knives on me and threw some tire chains. He would throw his fit and say, "You're not going to go anywhere. You're going to stay here. You know, you're not going to go outside." And he would hold the door against me where I couldn't get out. I think the furthest I've gone to is probably next door to use the phone.
Caroline has long black hair with bangs. She's 31 now. She was just 16 when she got married to a man 8 years older. He was controlling, even about how many children they had.
You know, leaving him, it was hard because seeing my kids, knowing that they're going to wake up without their dad. Knowing that they're not going to hear dad say, "Good morning."
Last spring, Caroline and her 9 kids moved to the shelter called Safe Place in Austin, Texas. But shelters have short time limits on how long a family can stay. And Caroline knows she'll have to move soon. But at Safe Place, there's another possibility. A small number of women get chosen to move from the shelter to the apartments that are just next door.
I'm just so excited. I've been aggravating my advocate. "Man, please try to get me in. Please, please, please."
Today, Caroline has walked into an interview. An apartment's available, and she's applied to get in. It'd be a place to call home for up to 2 years.
You've got 9 kids with you in shelter, and what are their different ages?
I have one that's 14, one 13.
Caroline has been praying she'd get accepted. And coming into the interview, she was pretty confident. But when the interviewer says there will be no decision right now, Caroline's confidence cracks.
"I never had a chance like this. Never. This is just really important to me that I'm able to get on my own. And even though I have 9 kids with me, it's just an opportunity for an open door for us."
The interviewer has questions about Caroline's application. This is no ordinary apartment complex. There are case managers, a school for the children.
"What work have you done in the past?"
But there's already a long waiting list for counselors. To take Caroline and her kids, Safe Place may need to find money to hire more staff. And it would require giving 2 apartments to just 1 family. The interview ends. Angela Atwood runs the supportive housing program. She says she'll give Caroline an answer later in a phone call.
"Anyway, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you. Thank you very much."
Caroline leaves, and Atwood explains it will take a lot to help this family. With 3 girls and 6 boys from 18 months to 14 years, and there's a 10th child, a baby with health problems, in foster care. Caroline's welfare check is small, but her debts are large. She never finished high school. When she did work, it was mainly as a custodian or a house cleaner. Atwood says success can be elusive for women like Caroline.
"The women often feel really overwhelmed, lonely, depressed, insecure, or not very confident about will they really be able to hold their family together and do what it takes to be on their own. And it's complicated."
Giving a mother a sense of control is what the supportive housing apartments are all about. They're just steps away from the emergency shelter on the same gated campus. 5 buildings of 40 garden-style apartments. Children play in the gazebo and on the small playground in the courtyard.
"Where's that shoes?"
But it's the work that goes on inside the apartments that helps a woman stabilize her life, to learn parenting and job skills, to go back to school, to do whatever it takes to become independent. About 85% leave here with a permanent place to live. That's high, especially compared to the shelter. There, half leave basically homeless. In a pleasant 2-bedroom apartment, a woman who asked that we call her Nana talks as her twin daughters romp. They're 16 months old, wearing dresses with their hair pulled into carefully braided pigtails. Nana is 22, from West Africa.
"My dream is
to be a medical doctor, no matter what it takes, how long it takes, whatever I have to do, you know.
Last fall, Nana told friends and family she was applying to medical schools, but there was something else she was too ashamed to say. Her new husband was beating her.
You know, he had all these nice words. He said, "I didn't flack you, I just popped you. You know, I didn't hit you, I just flicked you. It doesn't hurt, quit pretending. Stop crying, you know, it doesn't really hurt."
Nana says the night the police took her husband to jail for striking her, she decided she could not be in the house when he returned. She called Safe Place, which sent a taxi to pick her up.
I left with two things. I left with myself, with all my dreams I've had, and I left with my children. And when I was walking out the door, we had one suitcase, so the three of us, I just knew we were gonna be okay, because I have a degree. Nobody can beat a degree out of me.
Still, she worried that she was putting her ambition on hold to become a doctor, especially when the taxi pulled past the security cameras, high walls, and iron bars at Safe Place.
When I saw the gates, I think that was the worst part. And I was just thinking, so has my life come to this, that I pretty much have to hide? And then it really did hit me. I didn't have a home any longer.
After 1 month, Nana and her daughters moved to the supportive housing apartments.
And so I just needed somewhere to go to know I'll be safe, you know, and be able to concentrate.
Safe Place paid her rent, paid for daycare, even for the lessons Nana took to learn how to drive a car. And Nana got help too when it came time to travel to medical schools for her interviews. One afternoon, 3 months after she'd been in the apartment, Nana got an envelope in the mail.
"We are pleased to inform you that you have been accepted to the College of Medicine class of 2003.
Later this month, Nana will move out of Safe Place to start her first year of medical school with a full scholarship.
I don't know, to me it's just like a crown. Just says, you know what, it's okay, I'm a winner.
It's the kind of new start on life that Safe Place tries to give women, like Caroline, the woman with all the children, who's trying to leave the shelter and move into these apartments. At the apartments, most of the women have little education. Almost all are poor. Some come with addictions and depression. Others carry physical reminders of abuse, like the woman with angry scars across her arm. Her husband burned her with a welder's torch. Many come with a criminal record, often paying for the sins of their husbands. It was Caroline who got charged with a misdemeanor when her kids stopped going to school, even though she says it was her husband who kept them home. Now Caroline is learning to take control.
Kids.
Caroline's day is beginning. It's another morning at the shelter.
We still have people here and they're still sleeping.
On this wing, a handful of families live in their own small rooms, but share this common living and kitchen area. There's nothing homey about it. Concrete floors and bare walls. Patiently, Caroline prods and praises her kids, getting them dressed and ready. But with nine of them, there's a sense that everything's on a kind of low boil. Caroline tells one boy to stop cursing, then another plays with a carving knife he found in the kitchen. Caroline grabs it from the sweet-faced six-year-old. He's one of the boys who's most missing his dad, and he's been acting out lately, calling people names that Caroline tells him will get him in trouble.
Okay, but you still want people to treat you nice, right?
Yes.
Okay. But then the only way you can get treated nice is if you treat other people nice. Because the more good we are, the more points we have on ourselves. And God sees that. So let's try to be good. Let's try to get along.
Then it's time for Caroline to walk the kids to a nearby building.
Y'all ready?
Where Safe Place runs a summer camp. But within moments of dropping off the youngest ones, a cafeteria worker rushes up to tell Caroline about what the six-year-old just said.
"He called me a bad word."
It's a racial epithet the boy heard his father use often. Caroline takes the boy by the arm to the cafeteria worker.
"He has something to tell you."
"I'm sorry."
"Okay, I'm just telling you, sit down."
Caroline's discipline is swift and decisive. She bends down, looks her son right in the eye, and tells him he will not be going on the camp field trip tomorrow.
"I'm sorry.
I told you this morning. Don't say mean things, and you done said it this morning. That was very, very ugly."
Caroline uses some of the parenting skills they teach here. but she's got a lot more to learn. That's why she wants to move from the shelter to the supportive housing apartments, where she can get more counseling and services for the whole family. Now it's the evening of another day, the day supportive housing director Angela Atwood said she would call to tell Caroline yes or no whether she gets to move from the shelter to the apartments. Caroline waits by the phone in the common area as several of her kids run around.
This is me. Hi, Angela. Fine. Oh, God. Oh, thank you so very much. Okay. Well, I'm just really glad. I'm just like so excited I'm able to have an opportunity to be able to, you know, get my life straight and, you know, just make my goals. That's just so important. Thank you so very much.
Then okay. Caroline turns to the kids.
We got some good news, boys and girls. We're moving to support and housing within 2 weeks.
The news seems to lift the whole family on a wave of optimism and hope about the future. Caroline hugs her 13-year-old daughter, who wipes away tears.
I'm going to graduate high school, go to college, get a job. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to get a house, get a car, get 3 dogs, then get a boyfriend, a husband, and get a baby. 2 kids.
Caroline, too, allows herself to dream of going back to school and becoming a nurse, of her children one day looking back on all this and thanking their mom for giving them a better life. When families get into the supported housing apartments, they stay a year, sometimes two. But recently, Caroline's life took another twist. A 5-bedroom apartment opened up, way sooner than expected, in public housing. And the rule is, Caroline can't stay at Safe Place once she's been offered a permanent home somewhere else. Staff here will help her move and get counseling. Caroline feels not quite ready to leave the security of Safe Place, but she and her children will say goodbye sometime in the next few weeks. Joseph Shapiro, NPR News.